2. Coming down on line 5, I think.
Thank you. Remain standing. We are thrilled to have one of our local youth here tonight to lead us in our flag salute. And I'm going to introduce her. She can come up. So this is Haley Madison Ayers. Haley is 10 years old and a fifth grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. She really likes math because it equals something. I love that. And I have a daughter who is an engineer, and she says the same things, Haley. So you're right on the right path. She likes living on the Central Coast because of the cool weather, air quality, and the friendly people. She'd like to be a scientist, teacher, dentist, or cook when she finishes her education. And she knows that each profession is very difficult, but she likes them all. Her interests are running, gymnastics, swimming, cooking, arts, and crafts. And I believe she's accompanied this evening by her mom. So, Mom, don't be shy. You can come up as far as you'd like to take photos. So, Haley, whenever you're ready.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you. And we have a certificate for you. So come on up. Thank you so much. So you want to take a picture with me? Come closer.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Roll call.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. Let's see, we have no closed session announcements this evening. Let's move on to our agenda review. This is when the council reviews the agenda as presented by staff and decides if we want to make any changes to the order of the agenda. Do any members want to change the order of the agenda?
Nope.
Okay, if not, I'll accept the motion.
I'll make a motion.
Ribbon Week, and I know that we had Chief Copsey down here, so City Manager.
Commander Miller will be taking Chief Copsey's place this evening.
Very good. So then I'm going to read the proclamation, and I'll come down and present it to Commander Miller. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring the week of October 23rd through October 31st, 2012 as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Grover Beach. And it reads, whereas tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use and abuse represents a serious public health and safety threat in our city, our county, California, and throughout the United States. And whereas it is important for communities, schools, and individuals throughout San Luis Obispo County to work together to eliminate the demand for these substances and to promote programs that support commitment to a healthy drug free lifestyle. And whereas Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across the United States during Red Ribbon Week, which is October 23rd through the 31st, 2012. And whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, social organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this observance. And whereas Red Ribbon Week highlights the local substance abuse prevention programs that involve youth and parents yearly through local community coalitions and numerous countywide organizations such as Friday Night Live, DUI Prevention Task Force, the Slow Substance Abuse Prevention Alliance, and the Slow County Drug and Alcohol Services. And whereas the City of Grover Beach further commits resources to help the success of Red Ribbon Celebration and year-round tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention efforts. And whereas Red Ribbon Week 2012 would be highlighted by all three elementary schools in Grover Beach, now therefore be resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach hereby supports October 23rd through the 31st, 2012 as Red Ribbon Week and encourages all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention activities, making a visible commitment to healthy communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth. Boy, that's a mouthful. And I think I got through and I still have some breath. So, Commander Miller. Minutes total on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. And if there's, I will allow some additional time if an individual needs to complete a thought. The other thing that I want to ask everyone tonight that is going to speak, not just during public communications, but on any items that you do it in a respectful and a civil manner, so that we can keep the decorum of the meeting moving forward. Is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communication this evening?
Good evening. May I make a public announcement?
Yes.
I am Anita Schauer, 867 North 6th Street, and this is to ask you all to join us for our second annual Chemistry of Cocktails at the Exploration Station. So this is the first Sunday in November, which is November the 4th, and the event is from 2 to 5 p.m., and our own John Scholes is going to be one of the judges in the competition. We have 11 restaurants giving us a bartender from each of the restaurants to make up a drink that either smokes or is set on fire for the competition. And one of the other judges, please, is the Five Cities Fire Authority Chief. And it's food and beverages, of course, that you may sample. And we're going to move the judges around this time from bartender to bartender. And we also will have a silent auction. And we'll have cake and dessert. And we have a band. The tickets are $40. You may get them online, or you may come over to where I'm sitting. I have 4 tickets left. Every board member was asked to sell 10 tickets. And we should have approximately 100 items for the silent auction. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Anita.
What's the date again?
It's fourth. November 4th.
November 4th.
And time?
Thank you. 2 to 5 p.m. And I'm here on behalf of the Board of Directors as I am their chair.
What time is that?
Thank you. 2 to 5 on November the 4th. Tickets are $40. And it's at the it's a bartender's competition. And
great.
It will be at the Exploration Station. And in addition to that, we'll have a great big white tent where all the activities for the competition will be, and there will be prizes.
Very.
Not for the judges, but for the bartenders.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communication?
Good evening. You can access anything through the State Department of Rehabilitation website and County Mental Health, and also our website. On to the other stuff. I'm here again to talk about the sewage spill and the $1.1 million fine that was just assessed to our Slough County Sanitation, South Slough County Sanitation District. That's a mouthful, too. I'm here to say that I'm going to urge, I've been going to all the councils and OCSD, to urge you council members to consider some type of an agenda item to talk about the responsibility of this spill. I'm going to read from the June 3rd, 2011. Of course, it's my contention that our ratepayers, of which I am one in Oceano, our ratepayers are not responsible for that fine. Of course, this will be photographed. Sewage spill was likely preventable. This is June 3rd, 2011. I'm going to quote, because of a closed discharge valve, Cynthia Lambert wrote this, because of a closed discharge valve, a pump was not able to push the raw sewage quickly enough through the plant. If it had been open, the probability of a sewage spill would have been very low, according to a report the district sent this week to the State Water Resources Control Board. Sanitation District Administrator and Plant Engineer John Wallace, said Wednesday he believes the valve was, quote, inadvertently left closed after maintenance had taken place at the plant. Quote, I'm not sure how that happened. Well, I don't see how a plant administrator, when you see rain coming down the pike, I don't see how any plant administrator could not be single-checking, double-checking, and triple-checking and have his staff check every single thing that could possibly go wrong in a major, major rain that was coming right at us. So I believe it's not our responsibility as ratepayers to pay that $1.1 million. Okay, I only have 10 seconds left. Quick subject change, seismic studies. I hope everybody is paying attention to all the press about seismic studies. With all due respect, Mayor Scholes, these seismic studies and the way they're designed by PG&E are, it's just, it's a travesty. And to let these studies go forth in our ocean out here for a couple of months, no human should be in the water during the time that those 260 decibel blasts are going off, because not only could you lose your hearing, but you might die. So I urge everybody to go to websites, because they can access more than I can say in my overtime, and I apologize for that. Greenpeace.org. You can go to slowsurfrider.org. You can go to National Surfrider. Just type into Google Surfrider. You can go to the National Resources Defense Council. All of these websites will give you information and details. You can also go to the Facebook page of Stop the Diablo Canyon Testing, and you'll get details about the seismic testing, and keep watching your newspapers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public communications and bring it back to the council. We have no public hearings this evening, so we're going to move on to our consent agenda. This is an agenda where we take items as a group. They are considered routine items, and on our agenda this evening, we've got three items. One is the Treasurer's Report for the period of September 25th through October 9th, 2012. We also have one that covers the minutes of the City Council meetings of August 6th and August 20th, 2012. And then finally, we have a second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending the Grover Beach Municipal Code. Do any members of the council want to pull any item from consent?
No.
Okay, and I have no requests from the public. So would someone prepare to make a motion on the consent agenda?
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. This is going to be a roll call vote. Donna?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, let's move on to regular business. This is item number 5 on your agenda. This is a status report and request for direction regarding implementation of the first phase of the Grover Beach Municipal Network Project. City Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight is really a presentation and kind of is a status update as to where we are with the implementation of the broadband municipal network, and it also offers us an opportunity to present a concept to you for moving the project forward. If Bruce can bring up the exhibit. Essentially, what we have done, they're implementing the technology master plan and eventually getting to the broadband is really a four-step process. And believe it or not, we've made significant progress at this particular point. Back in February of 2010, the council adopted the technology master plan, and that really is step one. Step two is the adoption of the implementation plan, and that took place last January, and council actually provided staff direction to proceed. Really, we're at point step three at this particular point in time, and I'm going to present a concept to you that, with the council's endorsement, could move us towards actual activation itself. Just to give you an idea of why, again, to refresh your memory as to why this is important to us, the council has established the fact that developing the municipal network and getting broadband into the ground in the areas that will benefit our commercial and industrial areas is a number one priority of the city council. And it's important for a couple of reasons. One, it will take advantage of connecting the broadband network to the Trans-Pacific cable that is coming in from Asia. It will also provide additional speed and capacity far beyond what's available today to existing businesses. Why is this important? It will help retain existing businesses. Even those that are rather small and wishing to grow, those are the ones that this access will most likely help. It will also help some of our larger businesses that are within the city already and are international, and we need to retain these businesses in town. That's why it is extremely important to move ahead and get the project into the ground. Now, what have we done thus far? We've actually done a couple of things, as mentioned in the staff report. We've had ongoing discussions with Pacific Crossing as to how and when to gain access to the municipal network for that Trans-Pacific cable. We've also entered into discussions with a number of financing institutions to discuss how we might make this a reality. We've also had independent discussions with the county as to how they might in some way participate. Most recently, however, we've had discussions that were initiated by Digital West as to how we might be able to move this forward through a collaborative effort and make the actual project a reality. Bruce, if you can put up the slide that actually shows the diagram. In essence, what this collaboration would do, first of all, it would achieve the goal of getting fiber to the desired serviced areas in less than a year's time. It would also assist in leveraging the actual access to the Trans-Pacific cable, which is located in the south of the South Industrial Area. It will also provide a way of connecting not only the Grover Beach's first phase of implementation, but it will also connect to other regional areas within the county. How do we do this and do it simply? Well, Digital West has indicated that they're willing to enter into an agreement with the city, and essentially what they would be willing to do is operate the system ultimately on the city's behalf. The city, for its part, would be responsible for coming forward with an initial contribution in, as outlined in the report, of between $450,000 and $500,000. And those are the costs primarily associated with putting the fiber in the ground to serve the Grover Beach areas that are most important to us, which again includes the South Industrial Area, the area along South 4th, the Grand Avenue Corridor, and that's essentially, and will also assist with the connection point with Pacific Crossing. In return, once that system is actually in the ground and connected, as you see here, through Grand to Halcyon and out through the region, essentially, Digital West would become the operational partner in this, and they would assume the operational responsibilities. That would include everything from doing the marketing to attract their client base, getting that client base hooked up, actually doing the billing, the monthly billing, and basically taking care of the maintenance of the system as well as any kind of interruption that system might have. If you remember, when we developed the implementation plan originally it was thought to that perhaps the city would take on that responsibility as a utility. Well, given the fact that we have reduced staff and realistically don't have the technology background in-house to operate a system like this efficiently, some collaboration with Digital West makes absolute sense. What the concept is looking at right now is also, again, as I've mentioned, it would make access to Pacific Crossing much easier to accomplish. Pacific Crossing has always indicated that in order to gain access, they wanted to have the utility pick up a certain amount of capacity on their system and guarantee its use. If the city were to proceed on its own and establish its own network, it may take us a while to achieve that. But with Digital West working with us and bringing some of their clients through the system, it is likely that the actual connection for all of our customers would be easily achieved within a fairly limited period of time, as soon as it is activated. Long term, what we've talked about is, well, we've made this investment, then how are those resources repaid? And at least at this point, Digital West has indicated an interest in reimbursing the city at a, excuse me, my phone's going off. I thought I'd shut it off.
That's a fine for you.
Yeah, probably is when I get to Rotary on Wednesday. The way that the city's initial investment of capital would be reimbursed is similar to a franchise fee that would be calculated to repay the city's investment along with interest over a given period of time. And in addition to that, once the system is up and running, we would continue to receive monthly revenue from Digital West, probably based on the gross revenues produced. Digital West will market the services I've already pointed out. And what's going to happen with it is that the value to the city is not only the value of getting... I'm in a meeting right now. It's my sister. Anyway, so what will happen long-term with this is that the system will be in place relatively soon. The benefit is that we will be able to serve those that we are required to serve and are looking to serve, and we'll get that access to Pacific Crossing much, much easier. The issue that we've got is that this is a concept that I'm bringing to the council at this particular point. There are a lot of points that still need to be worked out, and what I'm actually asking for tonight is specifically direction just to proceed with the negotiations and discussions with Digital West. I've invited and would like to introduce Tim Williams. He is the president of Digital West, and ask him to come up and introduce his firm a little bit to you and talk about his perspective on how to make this system work.
Thank you, Bob, Mr. Mayor, and council members. In the technology master plan, we didn't put in education for Bob how to shut his phone off.
Yeah.
And Bruce to use the PowerPoint over here, but we'll make sure that's added in.
Put that, yeah, exactly.
My name is Tim Williams. I am the president and CEO of Digital West. We're a 14-year-old company. We're going on our 15th year. I've been in the area since I moved up here to go to school at Cuesta and Cal Poly for 22 years. We've been really excited to work on this project. The mayor and I had talked about it about 2.5 years ago, about how we could take the asset that we have here in this city as a gem that's right on the ocean and has the capabilities of really providing services that you really can't find in many other cities, even on the West Coast. It has the beach all along it. So our first customer that Digital West turned up on our Metro Fiber network was in 2009. That was the county of San Luis Obispo. Since then, we've continued to grow and expand that. And most of all of our goals have been met. I can tell you a couple of things that have happened beyond that. We thought it might happen, but we really have. It's kind of been beyond our expectations. Business owners are calling us and saying, when can you get fiber into my building? I've got tenants that are looking for it, and I've got brokers calling and saying, tell us which buildings you have in San Luis Obispo that have the fiber, because that's what they're looking for that. So when I got a call today from Brad Ford saying, are you coming down the street? Are you going to try to light up our buildings? He said, I'm totally in support of what you guys are doing. I sure hope you can do that in the city of Grover Beach. So it's been great to be able to work with the city and have such a great collaborative effort working towards this. You know, we've had a couple of steps along the way. We were looking for some ARRA money. But at this point, we found a way we feel that it really worked well in a collaboration. The county has needs, Digital West has needs, and the city has needs and desires. And we think put them all together, it'll really work well together. I'll mention a couple things that maybe Bob didn't touch on. I think having the lodge, and we hope that all comes together for the city. This is something that's going to be very important as far as an asset that the lodge would have going forward. This really does fulfill all of Phase 1, which is part of that technology master plan that we looked for in fulfilling in that plan. And if I had any other things to mention, I think it would be the part about Pacific Crossing. That really is an asset that's here. But they're not going to speculate like we might speculate in our businesses and our homes and our lives. They're saying, we're not going to let you into this building and have access to this cable unless you have to come with a customer. And that's going to be expensive, and it may take a little time. But luckily, in the collaboration between the two, Digital West has some of these customers already kind of ready to go. So by the time we get there, I think once we're in that landing station, so is the city. So that's really what the goal is on that part of it. So. Wow.
Thank you, Tim.
At this point, Mr. Mayor, both of us are available for questions that you might have.
Okay, very good. Let me see if there's any questions of staff or Mr. Williams. Councilmember Mona.
Would you help explain the difference between fiber optics and the cable that's currently available now, or DSL through AT&T?
Sure. So cable and DSL services are traditional internet services you might have from your home. I started an internet service provider called FixNet. We used to do dial-up access, so it was pretty slow, but it was as fast as it went at the time. It keeps getting faster and faster and faster. The fastest technology for communication is fiber optics. That's as fast as it gets. We're not coming in and putting in the fastest we can squeeze out over a television cable line or over a copper line. This is as fast as it gets. It really has limitless opportunities. So the cost is more expensive because we're building out a new infrastructure. You know, this is not like the phone company who already has something in the ground. We're building out a new one. But the capabilities of what it has is phenomenal. It's just light over glass. It's green. There's no electrical waves. There's nothing like that. It's just light over fiber optics, just made out of sand, made out of silica. And the speeds and reliability are just phenomenal. So the goal of Phase 1 is to hit all the business districts we can, because it is a somewhat expensive process to bring this in. The businesses can afford to do this. Many of the homes wouldn't be able to yet, but as we move on in time, that would be part of Phases 2 and 3.
So you have to physically lay this?
Mm-hmm. Correct. We can either go up on some of the poles that already have existing lines, but primarily we'd be putting it underground, and that's what most new builds are all going underground.
Okay, so you're going to go down Grand Avenue. So mm-hmm. How does a business access it? Do they have to then dig through to there?
As part of the plan, we will identify certain areas of the city, and as the map, maybe we'll look at the bottom left part of that map, right? You know, that area down there has some empty lots and some available space. So we would start by making those areas more attractive by being able to trenching under the ground and doing, as you've seen traditional stuff, you know, PG&E and the cable company, they'll do traditional digs out there. They'll get permits and do some street closures and whatnot at night, in the middle of the night. Some of those things would be employed to do this. And then our goal would be then to do all the trenching that we would need to do to get to each one of these businesses. Asking about Grand Avenue is a good example. While Grand Avenue is the main thoroughfare running through town, if you think about it, all the businesses along Grand, they don't have all their phone stuff coming from the front of the building, all the power and whatnot coming from the back. So we'd be looking at a way to service the Grand Avenue corridor, not necessarily going right down the middle of the road, but maybe down the side roads and the parallel roads, then access each one of those businesses that way.
Oh. Is any of this wireless?
In this phase, it's not wireless. It doesn't preclude another company from coming in and saying, I'd like to use the network to provide wireless services, but this is not a wireless network. This is a wired network.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I have a few questions, maybe some of them for Bob and some for you. The one for you, the piece for me is, now I know you have the connections with people who want to use this, and you're the guy they call. How do we get it further afield? I guess what I'm wondering is, how do we put together the marketing piece or the PR piece that lets the rest of the world know that we've not only got the beach, but we've got affordable properties in it, the best high-speed fiber optics you can get?
Okay.
How do we do that piece?
Well, I think that will be, again, a collaborative piece with the city and with Digital West. So our goal will be to market the services in the areas we are, that businesses in the Grover Beach area now have access to fiber optics. So we'll be looking to acquire customers. That's part of our goal. The city and our friend over here, Bruce Buckingham, and anyone that's out there talking about the city and what we have to offer here, businesses that are looking to come here or businesses that are hopefully going to stay here, that's really a goal too. We can market that as, look what we have here in the city of Grover. It's not just, you know, the dunes or tourism or restaurants or whatever it is. You're actually creating a bigger, more well-rounded pie, and I think that's something that the city itself will be able to market.
Mm-hmm. Website.
Will you be able to tell us who the key players are and how we get to them?
Well,
in terms of attracting business that fiber optic would be important to, will you be able to give us some indications of here's the right magazine, they all read this one, or here's the website, they all go here, or?
I'll do my best, absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a bit stumped on that one.
I'll tell you, yeah. When we did the ARRA grant, we did a lot of research back then, too, to mm-hmm. see what other communities have done, what have they done to attract businesses, what types of businesses were they looking at. Did you hear the example of Ten Sleep, Wyoming? It's a small town in Wyoming. They put fiber, and they had teachers teaching English to students in Korea. What an interesting concept. We probably wouldn't have come up with that on our own, but that was a great idea. Mm-hmm. What other businesses are like that? And we've seen some more of those examples in the other studies we've done. So we'd be happy to. This is a collaborative effort. We'd be happy to help with that.
I have a question about Oceano, too. I see that we're going out to the county, north, south, and even Santa Maria, I've heard, I really would love to link up with us. Can we do a piece with Oceano? Can we do something to help them? Because I understand their services are pretty poor in terms of internet.
Oceano is one of the underserved or even mm-hmm. almost non-served areas that we have. This phase, remember, we were trying to get more money from grants, but not to really make it happen. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have that. So we're going to try to make this work it's going to make sense. Mm-hmm. It has to make sense. So we've got to be able to make revenue on it to do it. So we've picked areas where we feel we can both serve the goals of the city mm-hmm. for its economic development, and we can afford to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be probably a relatively expensive and not a – we wouldn't see revenue on an Oceano dig, for example, in the same in the same size right. of this for a decade or plus. Right. Doesn't mean it won't eventually give us some opportunity to go out that direction, or maybe wireless might be an option over there. We could do some mm-hmm. high speed in that area mm-hmm. because we will have the network that expands out throughout the Grover Beach area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Fred Deisty's also at Digital West, and he's done a lot of the research. He's the one that did most mm-hmm. of this.
My name is Fred Deisty with Digital West Networks. When we were looking at Oceano, it is mm-hmm. declared as an underserved or unserved area by the California Services Fund. Mm-hmm. And once we get rolling on this, a phase two could include going after grant monies from the state of California okay. That would help subsidize paying for that. Because it is declared as that, it does qualify for a grant potentially. But we need to get into phase one to be able to then step forward and say,
right.
now all we have to do is connect off of this street and we're there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think grant money is probably the most likely way to do that and make it economical.
Thank you.
You have any more questions, Deb?
I think my other questions are for Bob.
Well, go ahead and ask them.
So where are you thinking we might find the money to do this?
Well, there are a couple of different options. One, I've already received a proposal from one bank and have the potential interest of another. So that's one option. The other option would be to use reserves. I wouldn't think about general fund reserves, but that's always an option. You also have the option to take a look at utility fund reserves that are currently being invested at the states with states' life fund and don't usually return much in the way of interest. And what you could do is a interagency loan. It would be different than redevelopment because it would have a almost an immediate payback period. So it may be a better way to invest those dollars, but you'll have that option plus the banking option to look at. Certainly it wouldn't be my suggestion that you think about general fund, although that's an option.
Thank you. And a couple of other questions on the trenching. So how deep do we have to dig and to do that?
Actually, Fred, you might be better to...
I'm sorry. I tracked off that one.
So digging, it's dependent on what other services are there. If there's other services like a sewer line, well, we have to go underneath those. So it's something we've done. We've got almost 25 miles of fiber in the ground up in San Luis Obispo City, which is a decent amount of other utilities to work around. Mm-hmm. But primarily when we're going down the street, it could be anywhere from 24 inches to 4 feet, somewhere in that range.
How much does it dig up streets?
Well, we use directional boring. So you actually come in at one point, and you can go for hundreds of feet, depending on where there's no digging. It actually is trenching underground. Oh, okay. Then they pull a conduit through, then they pull the fiber through that. So you'll have areas where they'll do the horizontal drilling, then they'll go down a couple hundred feet and do it again, and they don't have to trench everything up when they do it.
Okay, thanks. And then the final one I'm thinking for now is, when we talk about a franchise fee, is that the same thing as, is that basically the, I just am not quite familiar with how this all gets structured. Is that the same as people paying for using your right of way?
Is that the same? Yeah, concept? That can be, but mm-hmm. Obviously you can develop the agreement as you choose to. Mm-hmm. And the franchises vary from utility to utility. Mm-hmm. Some franchises are based on gross revenues, and others that were negotiated a ton of years ago are a flat dollar amount. I certainly wouldn't be looking at that. Obviously, this is something that we would look at as a revenue source that would benefit the city as the business grows.
Okay, good. I appreciate that because I think historically, a lot of times we haven't realized what we've got and we haven't made the right business choices. We haven't made profitable business choices, so I'm glad we're working with someone who understands that, and we'll do a win-win-win.
I'll add one thing on that too. In the city, we're a California inter-exchange carrier, so we're sort of like a utility. We're a broadband mm-hmm. utility, so we can go underground in the public use easements. We can go up on the poles and the telephone poles. We're part of those both associations. In the city of San Luis Obispo, we don't have a franchise fee. We are able to go in like a utility, so mm-hmm. that's kind of what it is. This is a unique setup. We'd like to set up so it is mm-hmm. something where the city, in collaborating with us and helping mm-hmm. this all come together, does receive revenues as the years go on. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
And just to tag on to something you said, and then I knew, Phyllis, you said you had another question. The issue, Bob, seventh bullet on page 3 of the staff report, you had talked about one of the talking points was the city contribution would be repaid with principal interest.
Right.
What's the concept there?
Well, you know, and that's still the subject to negotiation, but it would be most like you would structure a regular loan with your principal amount and a set amount of interest established, and then you would end up with monthly payments of that amount until the entire amount has been paid off. And then you would transition to simply a sort of what we've termed a franchise payment that could be tied, for instance, to gross revenue.
Okay, very good. Phyllis, you had another question?
Oh, I just wondered, let's say we go forward tonight. Do you have a time frame?
I have a shovel in the car. we'd like to, there are several more steps, and as the city manager said, this is really to help us move forward to putting a final agreement in place. But we'd like to start moving as quick as possible. I know the mayor has been really eager to move forward, as well as the city manager. So I don't know if we don't have a date, but I think we would start moving as quickly as possible. So.
Well, come on, a little educated guess, 6 months, a
no,
year.
I think we could probably get the agreement in place within about 30 days, mm-hmm. Would be my guess. Back to you, not in place per se, yeah. But back to you for further review. And then it's just a matter of timing in terms of, you know, getting the scheduling and the actual fiber lined up. And
the final routes have to be engineered. Permits need to be submitted, all of that. But if I were to ballpark and say if everything worked out perfectly, right around the first of the year.
Oh, really? All right, thank you.
Okay.
Does that sound...
Well, I was thinking a little bit more than that, but
no, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. And Bob, wait to be recognized.
Yes, I did say if everything was perfect. I did say that. But.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem, you have any questions?
Well, I have a question for Bob, just for the benefit of the people that are listening to this that probably don't have a lot of knowledge about Pacific Crossing. Could you kind of tell us just who and or what is Pacific Crossing?
Pacific Crossing is owned by, it's a Japanese-owned company, and Tim can probably better give that a answer.
Sure. Pacific Crossing is a cable landing station that's here. It's got three other cable landing stations, two of them in Japan, and one's up in the northern part of Washington near Seattle. With that, they have sort of a large ring that runs through the Pacific Ocean that's got fiber connectivity. So of all the places on the West Coast, they chose Grover Beach to be the location for this site about 10, 11 years ago when they put it in. So it was purchased. It was built by a company called Pacific Crossing. Now it's actually owned by NTT, which is kind of like the AT&T of Japan. So it's a big company there. They have a U.S. division now called NTT USA, and their headquarters, I believe, is in Danville, and they're running this site and as well as the one up in the northern part of the country. They use that for all the communication and cabling that we have going to the west of us, going over to the Pacific Rim countries on their east side. So it hits Japan, but then it also goes into Guam and the Philippines and into China. It's one of the three cable landing stations we have here on the central coast in our county. The other two come in through Montana de Oro. And of the three, those two are consortiums. This one is owned by a single company. But in just connectivity perspective, it's got a lot of bandwidth, a lot of connectivity that goes right through the ocean from here directly over to Japan.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. I have a couple. First, then, and I don't know who they're for, so I'm just going to throw them out there, and whoever has the answer, if you'd please just answer.
That works.
So don't we already have quite a bit of conduit already laid for fiber optic?
We have conduit in various locations where we've completed projects recently. And so what this will do is essentially is when we get ready to go, the fiber still needs to be pulled through the conduit. And, we've already got a portion of the system in.
Okay, so we wouldn't have to trench
everything,
okay.
No.
And then when we're talking about the 450 to 550 fiber in the ground, we're talking complete, the trenching, the conduit, everything.
Yes.
Where it's done,
for our share of it, yes.
Ready to go.
Right.
Okay. Then when we're talking about the LAF interest, what is that interest right now?
Less than 1%, if I'm not
mistaken. Okay, so it wouldn't be any big deal to probably improve on that rate.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I had another question here. Oh, when we're talking about, so a franchise fee or whatever we're going to call it, to repay the city's investment with principal and interest, and then you said that the gross revenues, would that include all the customers?
I think that's something we still need to talk about. Okay. As part of our negotiations.
Okay. I think those are my questions for now.
I want to add one more point to your first question about the conduit you have already in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So as the technology master plan states, it's also a kind of a little bit of a change in thinking as the city, which I think so far everyone's agreed with. This is great. Is to any time that the city has
right.
projects or businesses have projects, the ground's open, throw in the conduit,
right?
So that's great. That's a proactive step that the city can make, which would help us not only with this phase one, but to continue on with phase two. The existing conduit in the ground that you do have, it's a pretty small portion of this. I think it's some of it's down near the southern
right.
part of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But again, that would be something we want to continue to use that process so that it's easier to get each next step.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, in fact, one of the things that is a part of this process we'll be recommending is actually an ordinance that will require that new development automatically put their fiber optics in the conduits into the ground. So that will happen automatically as a policy would be the next step.
Yes.
Go ahead.
As I recall, the last contractor who came before us with a big plan actually offered to put that in. So I think we're on the right track there.
Yeah. All the developers want this anyway. It's kind of a no-brainer. They just added in with the rest of the communication they're putting in.
Okay. So, Karen, you were done?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I have some questions. I do want to kind of fill in a few blanks for you. Karen had brought this up about us having some conduit in, and I think this is certainly something the council's been planning, and I think the city's been moving in this direction. So Tim is right. We don't have a lot, but we have been very proactive. So we put in conduit when we put in the sewer main down in the southern part of the city. I believe we also had conduit when we did a portion of South 4th Street. I believe we have conduit in when we did the project at the west end of Grand between 4th and 2nd. And as the Lodge project comes forward and we have to look at extending water lines, things like that, there's another opportunity to extend into that area. And then I believe finally the downtown project between 8th and 11th will be opportunities to put in conduit. So we have tried to be very proactive. And I would say, when I say we, I mean the council. It's always odd when we say city as if there's a fictitious entity out there. So, Tim, I do want to just kind of get you to explain to everyone moving forward in this concept, because I know this concept has changed. I think originally when we had talked about the city creating a point of presence within the building. I think, City Manager, you kind of touched on this a little bit. And that the city would own the equipment and the infrastructure, but we would partner with an experienced business to deliver service to the end user. So I think for the community member out there that's saying, so what's so unique about what you guys are talking about doing, and how does this put Grover Beach in a unique position to take advantage of this resource in our community?
Well, I think I'm answering your question here, so okay. If I go the wrong direction, stop me.
I will.
We have, as you'd mentioned before, a beautiful place to live, and we have an asset here in this connectivity, okay? There aren't a lot of companies, the big guys, and I'll just call them the big guys, the big guys out there, the phone companies, they're not out investing in areas and regions where they don't have a lot of people that they can service. A mile of fiber optics down the street is pretty feasible when you're going down San Jose's one of their main drags, right? There's got skyscrapers and lots of buildings. It makes sense financially. We don't have the density of businesses or people in our region. So the big phone companies are not looking at our area to bring fiber optics to the home, the fiber optics anywhere. They're just not going to do it. It hasn't happened yet, and it won't happen, I'm telling you, for a long time, if they ever do it at all. Because you have this asset in your backyard, Digital West, as a company, is much smaller than the big guys, but we still have a desire to get to that asset. We weren't necessarily going to go right down the main part of Grover Beach, because again, there aren't a lot of businesses we were looking to, but that's why we started working as a collaboration. If we both are working together, along with the county, who also has interest in getting kind of through town to get towards some other anchor institutions that they want to connect to, we can make the cost drop dramatically, because we're working together, and all of us will still have that same goal met. The city would like to have this economic development of fiber optics and connectivity, not just by high-speed internet, but actually being connected directly to one of the cable landing stations. Mm-hmm. That's a rare asset. So that you put them all together and it all kind of makes sense. We're not at Santa Maria talking to them about putting this in their city. This is not something they have as an asset. That doesn't mean that down the road something might happen, but they don't have an asset like this right there on the beach like you do. So that's really why how this has all come together.
Yeah, and you did answer my question, okay. Because it uniquely puts us in a position to be one of the first communities to actually proactively put in this fiber mm-hmm. in our industrial areas and our commercial corridors.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Absolutely. So thank you for that. So I think that's all the questions that we've got. And this is a business item, but I'm going to open this up to the public. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the item before the council this evening?
Good evening, Anita Schauer, 867 North 6th Street. On page 1 of the implementation plan, when it talks about adequate financing, are there any private investors being invited into this?
Okay.
And on page 2, do we have a ballpark figure under number 2, internal and external stakeholder relationships? Is that ballpark figure somewhere within this document? On page 3, where it talks about the network's infrastructure, what exactly is that infrastructure? And is that something that we have part of right now and that we're going to add on to it? And then also on the same page at the top, the city should consider requirements to mandate the transfer of third-party constructed wireless towers. Do we have any of those towers here now? Isn't there one behind the station grill? Is that part of this plan? And then under external relationships, establish relationships with Pacific Crossing. So other than the teachers wanting to teach from here to Asia, what other companies would be interested in this? Page 4, please. Under phase 1, is this talking about the people that are going to join this and rent space, more or less, onto this issue, onto the fiber optics? Is that what that's talking about? And then under phase 2 of that, you're talking about additional wireless towers. Do you have a place within the city of Grover Beach where you want those to be? And is that something that's going to be a public item under for discussion from all of us? And also under phase 4 on page 4, it talks about excess funding sufficient to cover the cost of the infrastructure extension. Where would that money come from? On page 5, it talks about achieving market share sufficient for the network to become profitable, and that's expected to take approximately 4 years. Our community is only 2.3 square miles. Would it still take 4 years for that to happen here? And on page 7, regarding the $776,427 that's estimated to be the cash flow result for a 10-year period, that's going to come to Grover Beach. Does that go into a special fund or does that go into the general fund? Thank you.
Okay. So, Bob, did you hold on a sec. So let me see if there's anyone else that wants to address this item before the council. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close and then I'm going to go to staff. So I think it looks like there were about 10 questions.
And I'll do my best to answer those in the way that they were given. First of all, private investors. Digital West is a private investor, and so they are already coming to the table. I will tell you that we also made presentations to the Economic Vitality Corporation. And that's part of the way that we've been discussing bank participation as well, as a way of being open to private investors. Internal, external partners, we did an extensive survey prior to completing the implementation plan. The results of the survey are actually carried in the report. It indicated that, that out of the 640 businesses that were surveyed, actually the 340 of those surveys were delivered to the business. We got a 32% return rate, which we thought was extremely good. And out of that 32%, the majority indicated that they were interested in improving their internet access. They also gave us information relative to how much they're paying now monthly for their internet access and how much they would be willing to pay. And that's where we actually developed the figures that are contained in the report in terms of revenue projections. And in terms of the infrastructure, part of it is already in the ground. As already mentioned, there were conduits that have been placed with most of our public projects over the last two or three years. And when we did the sewer upgrade as well as South 4th Street, portions of Grand, and it would be a matter of linking that up and then pulling the fiber through it. But we've already saved some money as a result of having done that. Let's see. Again, who is interested? That kind of goes back to the market. You have to remember, in looking at the original concept, has changed somewhat in that the city was actually going to operate this as a utility. So that wouldn't be true any longer. And in essence, what would happen is a lot of the risk associated with the profit and loss that's indicated here would actually be transferred to Digital West, because they'd be the company of operation. So in terms of how the duration of funding and how long it takes to actually make a profit would no longer be a concern so much for us, as long as we were getting repaid and they were making their commitments to us. There are probably a couple of other points that I missed.
So this does not include wireless towers, so right. There would not be a need to bring that before the community. Good. Let's see what else. So you talked about the network infrastructure that we've got conduit that right. we're building right. on to. And then, I guess the big thing to drive home for everyone is that the project that was originally envisioned, I think a lot of the figures in this plan were, if we were to proceed in that manner in which the city actually owned the equipment, created a point of presence, was in the building with Pacific Crossing. And so this is kind of how that was laid out. And I think staff and even Tim had pointed out that in the discussion with Pacific Crossing, they determined that they were not going to speculate on whether a municipality had customers, and that's where Digital West comes in, because they bring customers, which makes it easier to negotiate with Pacific West. So there is a slight change in how we implement this from what was originally put together.
Right.
Bob, also in the survey, I know that you had surveyed some of our existing businesses that would certainly benefit from this. Can you mention a few of those?
A couple of those. California Fine Wire is a large international company already, and I'm going to butcher the name, Volet, up on off of Saratoga, the uniform bicycle international uniform manufacturer. There are two that come to mind right off hand that will benefit from this connection immediately.
Okay. And then I you kind of danced around this question earlier when I asked you about bullet 7. And so we know this is concept. We know those were talking points. But respect to, should the council choose to move forward with Digital West, one of the concepts that it appears has been discussed is that city would make an initial contribution and actually would be less than was originally envisioned. And so there may be an opportunity that Digital West would be able to repay the city's initial investment, thereby minimizing the risk to this community. And so I'll just say this now because it's close to the public, and I've been working on this for many years, as Tim talked about and even Fred, allowing us to take advantage of a resource we've got in this community that no one else in the county and the region has. And by partnering with a company like Digital West, and I know that there's information in our packet, but Tim has done a great job of growing this company. They are on the cutting edge. They are very community-oriented. And so when they have come forward with not just the original plan, but some of the additional discussions, they've been looking at a way to create a win-win, because they understand the importance of not only this project being successful for Digital West, but this being successful for the city of Grover Beach. And so the item before us this evening is, does the council give staff direction to move forward in negotiating an agreement and a contract with Digital West, which would then come back to this council in about 30 days?
Yes. Second meeting in November.
Okay. So how about some comments, and then we'll see if someone's prepared to make a motion. So how about some comments? Karen, you have any comments you want to make on this?
Well, sure. First of all, I really do believe that in this day and age, private-public partnerships are really important. It's one way for us to be able to go forward with limited resources. So in that respect, I really feel that this is a major benefit to Grover Beach. I think that we're at a crossroads here, and I believe that this is, I think phase one is something that looks like it is doable for us to do. It looks to me that this is something that would be beneficial to our economic development. I just wish I could get it to my house, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen at this point in time. But seriously, I think that we have this asset that's been sitting idle for 10 years, and it's something that we really need to take advantage of. When, not to dig up old news, but when we first went forward with the technology plan, I didn't go forward. I didn't vote for that because I felt that those funds shouldn't be used. I thought that we were in a time when we needed to save our money and so on. But I'm glad we did, because I believe that with a little bit of foresight, we were able to really use that $25,000, I believe it was, or something along those lines. And I think that as a result of that, our city is going to reap the benefit. So I thank you for the work that you've done, and I am definitely in support of phase one.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes, I fully support the plan. I know that we've worked with Digital West now for at least a couple of years and have seen nothing but good results come from that so far. I think this is an excellent program. It's something that the city cannot afford to move ahead on its own because of the current financial situation, but I think it's very doable as a partnership. And I couldn't think from the knowledge I have at the moment of a better partner than Digital West. So I'm strongly in favor of this.
Very good. Councilmember Peterson.
I just have to say I agree with everything that's been said so far, and I would be delighted with the prospect of moving it forward.
Councilmember Monar.
All right. Well, it's nice to be almost last because everybody said everything. But I'm actually grateful that Digital West has come forward, because I don't think...
Let's just do a roll call. Donna?
Yes.
Councilmember Mona?
Yes.
Councilmember Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number 6, City Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm requesting that the council actually authorize the closure of City Hall during the holiday period from Monday, December 24th through Tuesday, January 1st. That annual week, at this point, we have three holidays that are scheduled and already approved holidays for that time period. That would include the 24th and the 25th and January 1st. There's also a furlough day that has been scheduled for Friday, December 28th. So essentially what you would have is employees working for 2 days during that holiday week, first holiday week, and then having to come in on Monday, and then having the Tuesday holiday off for New Year's. Staff is actually recommending that the council can allow us to close during that period. We actually believe that we would get some cost efficiencies relative to obviously closing City Hall down. It's usually a period that we don't see much coming in from the general public. There isn't much public activity during that week. It does cost money to keep the buildings lit and fueled during that period, and then to shut them down and then bring them up for a couple days and have to shut them down again. If the council is interested in endorsing this, we've done it, I believe, once before, if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago for essentially the same reasons. The other thing I would like to have the council consider, it would be actually canceling the meeting of January 7th, and you may wonder why I would ask to do that. Well, if we return on Wednesday, January 2nd, that means the agenda has to be out on the very next day. That if the council is uncomfortable with that, certainly we can hold the meeting on the 7th, but we'd probably go with a limited.
So that when we come back in January, which is when a lot of the committees start to meet again, you already have the new representative.
Okay, so that's something we should talk about.
That would be, I think, if we choose then to not have that first one in January, that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Debbie, you have anything?
I think it sounds like a practical idea. I have no problem with it at all.
Okay. To my right? Either one of you have any?
I think that's fine, and I think Phyllis's idea is a good one as well, mm-hmm. so that people know where they're headed in January. I think that's a good idea. So we should probably think about that.
Okay. So my only comments on this is when I first heard about this was that I'm prepared to punt to let the new council decide this. But if everyone up here is comfortable with what's been suggested would be closing City Hall, and it's really 3 days, correct?
Right.
I think you need to make sure you clarify
yes.
that, Bob.
Yes.
It's 3 days, and it's really from December 20th. It's the 25th. No, it's the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Well, the 28th is a furlough day
anyway.
It's
a furlough day. It would be the 26th,
so basically.
27th, those 2 days, and then, December 31st on the following week.
Right.
Okay. So then, like I said, if the council is comfortable with what's being suggested by staff, I'm okay with that. I think the only other thing, and I want to kind of cloud the issue a little bit, is that maybe we consider canceling the meeting of November 5th, which is the day before the general election. I think that we probably don't have a lot of pressing matters, and given what's going on, it's probably wouldn't be a bad idea to.
It's up to the council.
What do the agendas look like? Are we don't have a whole lot that we need to cover?
City manager.
Well, you do have, just as a reminder, the Vernon project that is ready to go. That's through the Planning Commission. The other items that there's no date priority associated with them, but we have the first quarter fiscal report is all.
Hey, I'm
your last.
I'm not in the middle of a campaign, so I have no issues with having a meeting. If there are things, it sounds like if you're trying to be efficient, and if there are no pressing matters, I just as a matter of practice, it might. I'm just one vote.
Well, no, always. I was just wondering, as long as we don't make the 19th so heavy. Because I remember from my experience coming on the first time, there were some pretty heavy-duty things that showed up. And having been really new, it was that was a big concern for me. So
basically, projecting, you're talking about the Vernon project.
Right.
And then coming back with the potential contract or an agreement with Digital West.
Right.
Anything else?
Highway street update on the street program as well, but that would also fall on that second meeting.
Well, that's okay. I mean, staff's going to have 3 weeks off, so we can load them up on November 19th.
She's so funny. Well, then I suggest we get the agenda a little earlier than Thursday, the 15th, because I don't think that would be fair to anybody who's new if they, you know, have questions or, because like I said, from my experience, it was a little tough.
Mr. Mayor, maybe a little bit of clarification on the 19th. You'll still be the existing council.
Oh, that's right, because it isn't until December.
That's correct.
That's right. Oh, excuse me.
That's correct.
That was my error. Okay.
Okay.
So you sorry, should have sorry remembered to throw that, Mr. Mayor.
I knew that. I knew that. So let's go back. Let me. I was going to throw it out there. So I'll work with the city manager's point. Maybe we'll talk about a light agenda on November 5th. So then everyone seems to be okay with closing City Hall between Christmas and New Year's.
As long as there's plenty of notice to the public, so everyone knows. We do it at the district. We do it every year, mainly for those reasons, or we have for the past several years. And we just make sure that notices are posted so that we can be dark. And so as long as that is in place, then I'm fine with it. And staff is good with it. I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then I think sounds like everyone was in agreement that the direction of staff is to consider committees on December 17th.
Yes.
Okay. Item before you is there a consensus to cancel the January 7th meeting? And I'm going to abstain from this discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to punt. First time I've done that in 10 years. So what do you guys want to do?
I'm okay with that. I don't see that there's anything coming down the pike that we absolutely have to. If we did have to, I would think at the most, I'd want it to be a one-issue meeting. Maybe if we needed to move forward with Digital West, then I wouldn't want to hold that up for another 2 weeks. But
Okay.
Don't be shy.
I was waiting for my turn.
Thank you.
Being polite.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I do know that they have the new mayor and council member academy that usually occurs. Is that in January?
Yes, it is.
And do you have an idea? Because I remember having to be here till almost midnight and having to get there by 8 in the morning to Sacramento. So
that's usually the third week of January.
And that would be that meeting.
It would be.
Okay.
Hey, that's not you. That's something for the new council to bring to discuss. Why you guys wasted my time up here on this?
No, you can add your experience to it.
So we're talking
about. No, you're right. So that would be worth keeping a light agenda. That where you were going on that, Phyllis?
We're talking about canceling the 7th, and then what?
Then you would have the first meeting in. The only meeting in January would be the meeting following Martin Luther King Day, because that's a holiday.
So it'll be the 22nd.
It would be the 22nd.
So you can always have a special meeting on the...
We'd have a meeting a week later.
You could.
Yeah.
14th.
Yeah, I would suggest you do that.
Yeah, I think that's
and then
idea.
You don't have that conflict on the 3rd.
Oh, yeah, because that was really pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. That's what I would suggest if I was being asked.
Okay, so really what you're saying is that if you return on the 2nd, it's just not going to be enough time to put together a sufficient agenda for the 7th.
That's correct.
Basically.
But I think the suggestion of January 14th is very viable.
Okay. That makes sense.
Does that conflict with anything else?
2nd, cancel the meeting of January 7th and hold the first meeting in January on January 14th.
Okay, very good.
January 14th is a Sunday.
Oh, well,
wow.
So it would be January 16th because Monday is Martin Luther King Day?
No.
No, that's the next week.
It's the next one.
January 14th, according to my calendar, is a Monday.
Oh, you're right. It's
it
the
is
14th,
a, yeah,
excuse
it's a Monday.
Me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. So let's move on. We don't have any pulled any items that were pulled from consent. How about council committee reports? Councilmember Wright, anything?
No, I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Monar?
Nothing.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
The sanitation district did have a meeting. We have gotten all of the wintertime maintenance done, cleaning out storm drains and things of that nature, which we're very pleased with staff doing that. Staff has requested permission to purchase a new water champ, which is the flash mixer that mixes the chlorine into the product. And with that purchase, which is about a $10,000 project, it saves, having that machine saves the district about $700 a day in chlorine. So it's good to have one on the shelf, and we have authorized that. So they are going to be purchasing that. Regarding the administrative civil liability claim, as you all know, the fine came down from the region at $1,100,000, and the Board of Directors, Sanitation District, voted 2-1 to appeal that ruling to the State Water Board. That's it.
So I remember years ago when the city of Pismo Beach was actually fined for a similar situation, they were able to go in and negotiate and have those fines put toward their new facility. Has there been any discussion about that as maybe an option if there are projects that need to be updated and upgraded at the facility?
There's been a tremendous amount of discussion in negotiations with the state, and they're very strongly denying that under these circumstances that we can put part of this fine towards those types of projects.
It doesn't renew?
Pardon me?
It doesn't renew? Is it evaluated yearly?
It's a contract that was signed that unless somebody brings up that they either he wants to resign or they want to terminate him, you have to give 30 days notice, have discussion, so forth.
Oh.
Okay.
That's odd. Okay, thank you.
That it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I have nothing to report. My meetings are this week and next week.
Okay. So let me just kind of give you a real quick report for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. And at the last meeting, which was held on Wednesday, October 3rd, the board voted, and this deals with the Grover Beach train station expansion project. They did give a status report on that, and they had met with staff, and I know that it sounds like there were some very positive meetings with staff regarding this potential project. And we have been programmed $1 million for expansion of not only expansion, but to resolve the issue of getting the buses on the same side of where folks are loading on the trains. And I believe the staff says the project that was designed is roughly $1.6 million, and we have $1 million programmed. And it looks like the staff and the board were amenable to that, especially that the city had expressed interest at possibly going after more Prop 1B funds to do that. One of the things that is holding the project up right now is that we need to find some additional funds to do the design and engineering of the project. So at that meeting, the board did, in fact, approve placing the city's balance of $105,000 in local urban state highway account funds, which is what we had left over from the South County Transit Hub. So we did approve that, and then also adding an additional $60,000 from the 2013-14 regional state highway account. So now we've got $165,000 to do the design and engineering of that project, which then puts us in a good position to go after the additional monies to move that project forward.
Is yes. there a time limit on the $1 million? Do we have to show progress?
We do have to show progress. That was kind of the whole to evaluate projects that have been programmed and that are not moving forward. And so the whole idea is to get the money, get that project designed, and actually be in a position when other communities are not moving their projects forward, that Grover Beach would be in a much better position to go and ask for the additional funding.
Oh, because if someone doesn't use something, then it goes back in the pot.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
I have a question on that. I wonder if you could respond. I'm hearing a lot out in the community that people are feeling like we're doing all these beautiful things down on Grand and we're doing the train station, but why aren't we fixing the street in front of their house? So can you just clarify, are we using any funds on the train station that we could have otherwise used on our residential streets?
The short answer is no. The funds that we are using on the train station are Prop 1B monies that were actually set aside for transit and rail type projects. So Grover Beach is uniquely positioned to go after these monies. And I believe at last count, there was about $12.5 million that was supposed to be coming to the county of San Luis Obispo. So the two other projects, or let me say four projects out there, three of them are capital projects. So City of San Luis Obispo is discussing a multimodal center in the heart of the city. The city of Atascadero has a transit facility that actually is breaking ground. So those are, in essence, our most direct competitors for these type of funds. The fourth is the Regional Transit Authority. I think initially when we came out, when they went into the new building, actually requested maybe not quite $1 million, but they have used funds from this to do their facility. So that's money that is limited to and restricted to what we can move forward on. So the other thing for community members who are out there and who aren't quite sure where we're going with this is the vast majority of these funds, and I'm going to say over 95, if not more, percent of the monies that are being used on West Grand Avenue, not only between 4th and 2nd, between 8th and 11th, are transportation enhancement funds that can only be used for improvements that are over and above those improvements for normal routine maintenance. So we couldn't use those funds to go out and repave streets and even build a standard sidewalk. They have to be over and above. So I know that Bob, I know we had some discussion at the last meeting regarding downtown, and yes, there were some monies that could be used on residential streets. The issue becomes any paving improvements in Grand Avenue. And I think we wanted to take another look at that list and make sure that the council majority is on board with which ones were selected. I think, in my view, it would only be fair. And I think that's coming up. And then the other is to revisit the discussion that we had regarding long-term street rehabilitation. As many of you, and I think all of us remember, there was a discussion regarding how do we pave the streets? What are some of the alternatives available to the community? And at last count, it was between $40 and $48 million. And so just another check of where we are with that. But the monies that are used for the train station expansion project and the vast majority of what's being used on Grand Avenue are very restricted funds and can only be used for those specific projects. Okay. But I would say, and I think you guys are all in agreement, that we have not forgotten about the residential streets, and we have a list, and we need to know where we are to get ready to move forward on those as well.
Thank you.
The one other thing on the South County Area Transit, and I think Phyllis, we talked a little about that, maybe plan on going on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it will, in effect, be my last meeting before this board, and I want to make sure we have the proper introduction and handoff.
Okay.
And then I don't have anything else to report. Bob? Okay, so there are no council member items tonight. Any communications? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I'm considering this a council communication. I received it in the mail.
I just want to
tell our residents there, out there. I received information in the mail regarding our Measure I-12, our charter initiative, and unfortunately, this information is completely false. So I would hope that if folks have received information that says about our charter initiative that says here are the key points, more pay for politicians, higher fines and penalties for taxpayers, and so on, that they would please go to www.grover.org or read the Sea Breeze, or actually just read the charter, and you will see for a fact that that is absolutely false. and not true. We wrote the charter specifically to say that it will not change compensation received by any elected or appointed officer of the city. It will not change current
association meeting, and at that meeting, president of the Cuesta College came to the meeting, Gil Stork, and made a presentation regarding the accreditation issue that they're facing, and the fact that they're going to be going back to the accreditation committee again in January. And they're hoping that the accreditation will stay in place, and that they will receive full accreditation. There's always a possibility that that may not take place. But I thought that it might be worth the council considering having a presentation from President Stork at some time in the future, because Cuesta College is a valuable resource to us. And if the college was to go through some kind of a decreditation process, it could be very impacting to the entire community. So it's something to keep our eyes on and maybe think about requesting that President Stork at some point come in and make a presentation to the council as a whole.
Okay, that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. City attorney is not present this evening. We do have one closed session item. Are we still going to cover?
No, that will. Oh. We won't need to do that this evening. That can be continued.
Well, there you go. So we have no closed session item. And so since we don't, we actually are adjourned.
8:03.